Good morning. So December, and this is December 28th. The year is basically over. There's not much you can do anymore this year. You have any more plans, it's pretty much over. What else can you do but to wait for December 31st, right? And celebrate. So usually in December, we make a lot of plans for the next year. And if you think about it, December 31st is a little bit arbitrary. If you look at other religions, they have the end of the year, some other month than us. And so December 31st is really not that different from any other day, except that for our calendar, it is the end of that year. And so we try to make it a little bit more special. And we think about a lot of stuff, about the stuff that we did in 2014, the stuff that we want to do in 2015. We may have regrets. We may have things in our mind saying, well, I wish I could do this better this coming year. This last year, this thing wasn't so good. I want to change that this next year. And so you start doing plans. And this is what we call the New Year resolutions, right? Well, it was funny because I was talking with Daniel and I was explaining that was the topic for today. And I said, the Christmas resolutions. And he said, do you mean the New Year resolutions? It's like, yes, the New Year resolutions, not the Christmas resolutions. But it was funny because when I made that mistake and I'm thinking about it, this is something that we can do every day, actually. Every day we can actually think about what we're doing and what is it that we're going to be doing next month and the coming year. It's not something that we have to leave until December to reevaluate what is it that we're doing or we're going to be doing. And for me, December 31st was a little bit scary when I was a kid. I have to tell you that. When everybody's, counting 10, 9, 8, 7, it was scary. Especially when I would look at my father. My father was a very tough guy. He was working in construction all the time, a very tough guy. And everybody's yelling 10, 9, 8. And my father will start crying. And I will be like, whoa, what is going on? Are we going to die or what? It was scary to see this scenario, especially because there were other family members and they were not really believers. They're drunk and they're crying too. So as a kid, it was a little bit scary. But as you grow old, you get to understand a little bit more how the situation goes. But we still do things in December that are a little bit arbitrary. We don't have to do it in December necessarily. We can think about these things during the year. But now that we're starting this new year, I want to take advantage of that. And so we start making plans. You may say, I want to learn something new. Maybe playing a guitar, an instrument. Maybe you want to learn Spanish if you are living here. Maybe you want to know new people. You want to get to know your neighbors if you move to this country. Maybe you are planning about paying off a debt or paying mortgage or start saving money for something. Maybe you are thinking about moving to a new place this next year, traveling or switching jobs, getting a new job. We want to do a lot of things. And it's like December, we want to hit the reset button sometimes, right? And if we have a bad relationship with the Lord and we are not doing really good, we kind of want to hit that reset button and say, okay, Lord, I promise you this time, as soon as the year begins, I'm going to start doing these things. And this is something that we should think about every day, actually, throughout the year. If there is something wrong, there is something that is not going good, we should be thinking about these things. So I want to give you three things because you probably have a lot of, or a few at least, New Year resolutions. But I want you to think about three things this year. And hopefully it's going to be the focus for you in 2015. And the first one is, how is your relationship with the Lord? Now, for some people that may sound pretty easy, very simple. It's like, well, it's going good. But we're going to reevaluate that because that's the idea about having a New Year resolution. You wouldn't do that unless you think there's something that is not going so good. And so you want to improve. You want to get better at that. The second one and third one, I don't think we're going to have enough time to look at them, but I'm just going to mention it. And the second one is, how is your relationship with other Christians? And the third one is, how is your relationship with non-Christians, people who don't have the Lord? So how is your relationship with the Lord? For some people, it's like, it's okay. I mean, it's not bad, not great, but, you know, he knows me. You may think your relationship is good because you do good things. You're helping some people. You treat people nice. You probably think it's good because you come to church on Sunday and you read the Bible. Probably not every day, but at least you keep it in mind, right? But we're going to see a few things that we can do to reevaluate how is our relationship with the Lord and how we can improve it. Numero uno, the first thing that we're going to do is we need to confess our sin. We need to confess our sin to the Lord. That's the first thing that you have to do in order to improve your relationship with the Lord. Now, you may be saying, well, of course, I did that 5, 10, 15, 40 years ago when I came to the Lord and I asked him to forgive me and he forgave me. But I'm talking about today. I'm talking about this week. I'm talking about last month. We need to confess our sin to the Lord because we sin every day. I sin today. Now, that may be shocking if the preacher in front of the church is saying, I sin today, right? But actually, we do. Somehow, we fail. We do something, we think something, or we don't do something that we should be doing. And therefore, we fail. We sin. We're missing the mark. We're not fulfilling God's will somehow. Because that's our nature. We're not perfect. Even though God forgave us, and God is working in our lives, and we have His Holy Spirit, and we are growing in the Lord, we still make mistakes. So you may be thinking, how is that? You sin today. It's not like, are you in adultery? Did you kill somebody on the way to the church? But it can be anything. It can be simple things that we sometimes don't even think about. Sin is a barrier against the Lord. It doesn't allow us to have a deeper relationship with the Lord. And we need to confess our sin. If you go about the days and the weeks, maybe you pray here and then, you read the Bible a little bit, but you're not really confessing any sins, anything that you may think, I failed to the Lord in this way or that way, or something that you remember doing or saying that you shouldn't have. You need to do that. Otherwise, we will be fooling ourselves, thinking that everything is okay, that everything is good with us. And it's a tricky situation. But this is something that you can do in privacy. Now, why do we confess our sin? Because we need God's forgiveness. We need His forgiveness. And forgiveness is the only way to restore our relationship with the Lord. And this is very similar to relationships with other people. If you have a problem with somebody and you need to restore that relationship, forgiveness is the first step that has to come. You cannot restore a relationship if there is no forgiveness. And most of the time, forgiveness is a two-way road. It's not just like, oh, that person did something wrong to me and that person needs to apologize. Usually it's a two-way road. There is something else that we also did that was not good. In James chapter 4, verse 17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So sometimes we think about, oh, I did this and that was wrong, so I need to ask God for forgiveness. But sometimes we don't do things. It is the sin of omission. We had the opportunity to do something good and we didn't take that opportunity. Therefore, we're missing the mark. We're not fulfilling God's will in our lives. And we need to be careful with that. Now, that may seem like I'm trying to work on your conscience, right? Like, I'm going to get everybody here like thinking, oh man, I probably have a lot of things I didn't do and I didn't even realize. But actually, David said something similar. In Psalm 19:12, he said, "But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults." David knew that there were probably things that he did wrong, but he didn't know about it. There were things that offended the Lord, offended others, and he didn't even know about it. He didn't realize. But knowing that, he still said, "God, forgive me." Who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. And so this is like a popular phrase that I heard before. We know that we don't know. And there are things that we don't know, right? And so we can kind of apply that to our relationship with the Lord. There's, I don't know. Did I sin? I don't know. I may have. The Lord knows, you know. So we can come to the Lord in openness and say, "God, you know everything. You are perfect. You know where I sinned. You know where I faulted. You know what is it that I did wrong today. But I want you, I need you to forgive me for that." And then, of course, the other things that you know you did wrong. So that's the first thing. We need to confess our sin. And this is something that we have to do before anything else, before we can restore that relationship with the Lord. Or if you think you already have a relationship with the Lord, if you want to go deeper in the knowledge, in a relationship with Him. Número dos, we need to pray. We need to pray. We cannot have a relationship with God if we don't talk to Him. If you want to get to know somebody, you have to talk to that person. It's not like you can be a Christian and say that you have a relationship with the Lord, but you don't even talk to Him. And this is similar to, for example, if you hear about somebody like famous, like a singer, an actor, a politician, somebody that you know that name. You've seen that person on TV. Now you may say, "Yeah, I know that person." But you don't know that person up close, like in a relationship. You haven't sit down with that person to talk with him. And sometimes we do that with the Lord. We hear about God. We read the Bible. We go to church and we hear about these messages. But we don't really have a relationship, a personal relationship with God. And so we need to be careful. How is your relationship with God? Is that kind of a relationship which is you just know about Him and you agree with everything, but you don't really have a personal relationship? Or you spend time with Him daily? And this reading plan for the Bible is going to be perfect, because it's going to have you reading the Bible every day. And that's going to give you opportunity to take some time alone to read the Bible, to pray, to confess sin, and to ask God to continue working in your life. We need to pray. And confessing our sin falls in the category of praying. But praying is more than just confessing our sin. It's talking with God, expressing your fears, your concerns, your worries, your joys. Why are you appreciating anything that God gave you? And you can appreciate those things to God. And you can thank God for everything that He gave you. In Matthew 6, Jesus is teaching His disciples how to pray. And we've seen this verse before. Some of us know this by heart. But I just want to point out two things about the prayer. When Jesus is teaching His disciples how to pray, three parts of the prayer are directed to God. Hallowed be your name. Praising God. When you pray, praise God. Worship Him. Tell Him how beautiful He is, how important He is for your life. Just praise Him. Your kingdom come. And this is very similar to the next part, which is your will be done. In other words, that His will is going to be done in our lives, but not only in our life, but also in the world. In Hako, What is it that God wants to do in Jaco? What is it that the Lord wants to do in this town, in Costa Rica? Now that we are here, it doesn't matter if you are here as a missionary or retired or doing business. You're a Christian. You have the truth. You have His Word. You have the Holy Spirit. In other words, you have the same characteristics that the first apostles had. His Word, His Holy Spirit. And you can express and share the love of God to others. Besides doing all the things that you plan on doing here. But when you are going to be serving God somehow, you're going to be sharing His love with other people somehow. It doesn't have to be your plan. Remember, He is the owner of everything. Everything was given to Him. All authority in heaven on earth was given to Jesus. So what is His plan for this town? And sometimes we can make a mistake, make a plan, and then ask God to bless it. When it should be the other way around. When you come to the Lord, He's been working in this place way before we were born. And so what is His plan? What is it that He wants to do? What is His purpose for Jaco or Costa Rica? Or your town, your hometown, wherever you're coming from. What is His plan? So when we come to God, we have to ask Him, God, what is it that you want to do? I want to be part of it. I don't want to come up with something and then ask you to bless it. I want to be part of your plan, and I want you to tell me what is it that it is, and I want to serve you. I want to work on that. Your kingdom come and your will be done. And the other three parts of the prayer is give us our daily bread, forgive us our debts, and keep us away from temptation. In other words, when we ask something, it's also in order to please them. We are asking for God's provision because we're recognizing that everything that we have is coming from Him. And you may say, well, I work really hard from 8 to 5, Monday to Saturday, and I'm making my money. Yes, but somebody gave you that health so that you can work. God gave us everything we have. And we need to appreciate that to Him. And we need to recognize that everything we have is because He provided. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts and keep us away from temptation, from evil. So what? So we can please them. So we can walk with Him in freedom. And we don't have to worry about evil or temptation. The third one, in order to have a good relationship with the Lord, and while I give you these points, you can reevaluate how is your relationship with the Lord. And this is a very personal thing. So this is something that you can do on your own. But the first one we saw is we need to confess our sin. The second one is we need to pray. The third one is that we need to listen to God. You need to shut up. And sometimes we come to God saying all these things. And we even do it in a rush. We're getting out of the door. We're running. We're going to work. And we're like, oh, I need to pray. And we pray in a rush because our time is more important. And then we go thinking, okay, I prayed. But we need to sit down and listen. And one way we can listen to the Lord is by reading His Word. By reading the Bible. So again, take advantage of this Bible reading. Read the Bible every day and listen. And once you pray, once you confess, once you read, you also can stay quiet and just wait on the Lord. Just listen. Now, some people take this a little bit to the extreme and they come and they don't say anything. They just listen. But we can also pray. We can also talk to God. But we need to sometimes just keep it quiet so we can hear His voice. There's been moments when I'm just waiting, and I'm not going to tell you that I'm like a super spiritual, that this happens every day. But there's been occasions where a Bible verse comes to my head And it's exactly what I needed to hear. It's exactly what I needed to remember. Now, how did that come to my mind? Because I read it one day. You need to read the Bible so God can use that and remind you exactly what you need to listen to that day. Because he loves us. He has a relationship with us. Now imagine if you're working with somebody and that person is not talking to you for a whole day. The next day you're working next to that person and that person doesn't talk to you. And the next day and the next day, how will you feel working with somebody who doesn't talk to you? God is with us every day. He's taking care of us every day. He's providing for us every day. He loves us. He's not a God that created everything and then went away and let evolution take place. He is a personal God. He is a God that knows your name. He knows when you were born and he knows everything about you. He is a personal God. Spending days and weeks knowing that he's taking care of us and not really saying anything to him, it's got to be terrible. We can talk to him. But more than that, we can also listen to him. The fourth one is that we need to be around other believers. So we need to confess our sin. We can pray. We can listen to God through moments of silence when we just wait on the Lord, and also through the Bible. But we also need to be around other believers. And this is a tricky part because there's people who have been hurt by the church before. I don't know if you've been hurt by this church, hopefully not, but maybe from other churches, maybe from other pastors, maybe from spiritual leaders. And you're like, well, you know, this whole thing about the church, I believe in God, I read the Bible on my own, I just want to do my own thing, but I really don't want to get involved about this whole thing about the church. And you may have really, really good arguments for that, really good reasons for that. Well, let me share one with you. When I was a teenager, I was in rebellion. I had problems with all kinds of authority. And I dropped out of high school. I'm working, making my own money. I'm just prideful. I'm a teenager. And I started hanging out with the wrong crowd. And I started drinking, using drugs. You're probably shocked by that. But then when I was 15, because that whole thing started when I was 13. When I was 15, I realized I was drinking a little bit too much. And the problem is that because I couldn't keep it quiet. I was always getting in trouble and in fights. Drinking and having that attitude doesn't go really good. You know, you're going to get beat up quite a few times. So I decided to seek help. And the first thing that came to my mind was, I need to go to a church. I went to a church. The youth leader, he started giving me counseling, praying for me. And he said, one of the things that you need to do is you need to switch friends. You need to get involved with more Christians. You need to get around other believers. And you need to stay away from the streets as much as you can. So just finish working and just come to church. Doesn't matter what we're having. Just come to church. If it is a women's Bible study, just stay outside, but just come to church. And I was following him, you know, exactly what he was saying. Well, there was this activity that they were doing with kids on the streets. It's a little bit similar to Kids Club, but there are differences that we have Kids Club on Saturday mornings. But this activity was at night, and some of my new friends from the church were helping on that. And so I said, well, I'm just going to show up and hang out. It's not like I'm teaching because I don't know anything about the Bible, but I'm hanging out with the leaders. Well, the thing is that, I don't want to make this story too long. Some people complained and they thought I was doing ministry with kids, which I wasn't. And they knew me from before because I will be drinking nearby their neighborhoods. So with other people. And so they made a complaint. They went to the pastor and said, hey, why is this guy doing ministry? I'm a 15-year-old, don't know anything about the Bible. I'm not really doing ministry. But they perceive it that way. And I can see their concerns too. I mean, you will be concerned. And so the complaint went to the pastor. And this is my first church. This is the first time I'm congregating. The pastor asked me to come. We had a meeting. And I told him everything. I mean, I'm telling you everything. I was just crying. He's praying for me. And he said, look, we're going to get together again in 1 week. It's like, okay, great. And this is a 300-people congregation in San Jose. So I'm like, whoa, suddenly I'm getting counsel by the main pastor. This is awesome. I showed up the next week, the second session, and he was very different from the first session. And he advised me to go to a different church where I can actually get help. And I was like, okay. So I left, get on the bus, and I'm like, he kicked me out. And I didn't even notice. They were incapable to understand what was going on or to know what to do. The thing is that pastor stopped being a pastor that same year for other reasons. I'm not going to share. But there was a reason why he was not a pastor anymore. He made a mistake. And my first experience in a church was getting kicked out of the church. I could have used that, since I already had problems with authority, I could have used that to use it against the church, against God, and say, you know what? This whole thing about God is, I'm not going to use the word, but there's plenty of stuff I could have said in that moment. But God had a plan. God had mercy. And God led me to a different church where they actually help. So at the end, it worked for good because this church wasn't really going to do that much anymore. This other church actually helped. And so I started doing counseling and it went for months. And I started learning the word and all by his mercy. There may be reasons why you don't want to hang out with Christians. There may be reasons why you don't want to get involved in a church or you don't want to be part of a community, a Christian community, even though you still think you consider yourself a Christian, but you just don't want to hang out with a Christian community. You don't want to be under a pastor. There may be other reasons, maybe even worse reasons than that. Than the one I experienced when I was 15. But the Word of God asks us to have community, to share with other believers, and to grow and sharpen one another. We have different groups, Bible studies for women, and other Bible studies during the week. And you can be part of this community. So I encourage you not just to come on Sunday and then get on your car and leave. Hopefully you start getting to know more people, knowing that people are going to make mistakes. And again, you may have another good reason not to come to church, but you also make mistakes. You're not perfect either. So we need to stay together. The other mistake we make is that we look at the church as a supermarket. We go to the church, it's like, oh, I like that, oh, I don't like that. And it's like, oh, man, I wish that was better. And, you know, that preacher from Costa Rica wasn't so good. Hopefully next week we're going to have Daniel again, you know. And so we go to the church and we take it like a supermarket. We're picking and choosing. We like that, we don't like that. When the church is not about that. The church is about growing, sharing in community. And about being discipled by the Lord and by his word. That's the reason we come. But it is tempting since sometimes there are many options. Maybe here, not many options for English speaking church. But in Spanish or in the United States, in English, you have plenty of options. And sometimes we fall in that trick of comparing churches. And some people, you hear them, they are really good at comparing churches. and worship teams and preachers. But that's not what we're called for. We're not called to compare churches. We're called to grow. Doesn't matter where you are, what community you have, what community of believers you have, we're called to grow and to be discipled by Him. People are going to make mistakes. People are going to hurt you. But we cannot compromise or jeopardize our relationship with God because some other people hurt us, just as we probably hurt other people too. Amen? So we come here to have fellowship. And the fifth thing that we can do to have a deeper relationship with the Lord is to walk in obedience. It's very easy to come to God seeking His blessings, seeking eternal life, seeking all these things that He will give us. But it is hard when we know we need to obey in a specific area in our life. That's the part we sometimes avoid. Sometimes the reason why we don't want to be part of a church is because we believe in God, we read the Bible, we consider ourselves Christians, but there is stuff in our life that we don't want to give up. We don't want to walk in obedience in certain areas in our life. And you know that if you go to a church, you're probably going to hear about it. You're going to probably hear that you need to obey the Lord in certain areas in your life. How can we have a relationship with God if we are not willing to walk in obedience? If we just want to have His blessings. It is sad if somebody that you know calls you once every month or every 3 months. You never see that person. You never hear about that person. But every time that person calls, it's because they need a favor. Now, because you want to be nice, you're going to go and help that person. But it wouldn't be nicer to get to know that person better and have dinner together and get to know that person better? Or at least sometimes you wish that from the other person, from the other side. But it's kind of strange if somebody will call you once every 3 months just because they need a favor. You will be like, you know, it's kind of weird. But you still will be nice to do it. Sometimes we do that with God. The other way we can put it is, for example, how many of you got up this morning thinking about the fire department? It's like, man, those guys are doing a great job, right? I mean, nobody wakes up in the morning thinking about the fire department unless you are married to a fireman, you know. But nobody thinks about them. When do we remember the fire department? When we have a fire. When the house is burning down. It's like, call the fire department now. That's when we remember them. And sometimes we do that with God. We don't remember God, but we remember Him when everything is falling apart. And we see Him as a fireman, as a fire department. We need to avoid those mistakes. We need to avoid that. How does God feel knowing that He is taking care of us and providing for us, and we only go to Him every time we need something, every time we are in trouble because we screwed up? Now, if you have a relationship with God every day and everything is coming down, you're going to come to Him, but you're going to feel better because you are talking with Him. You're close to Him every day. Actually, I realize that when something bad happens, God was already preparing my heart for that. But it's because I was having a relationship with Him. And He knows everything. He knows the past, present, and future. And He takes care of us enough to prepare us if something is happening or something is coming. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commands." If you love the Lord, keep His commands. And that takes obedience. John 14:21 says, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." I can do a show of hands and say, who loves God? Who doesn't? I mean, if you're here, right? But who loves God by obeying him? Who loves God by keeping his commandments? Is there an area in your life where you haven't surrendered, that you haven't been walking in obedience? This is the time. It is the time to set that New Year resolution and say, God, I want to walk in obedience. And then the other 3 points, and that's about our relationship with the Lord. And the other two is about how is our relationship with the other Christians. And that, again, is tricky. That's a whole different message. But I'm going to give you a phrase that's probably going to help, hopefully. And this phrase is unity in the essentials, freedom in non-essentials, and compassion with everything else. Unity in the essentials. There are essentials, doctrines of faith where we need to have unity. For example, who is Jesus Christ? The authority of the Word of God. The inspiration of the Word of God. Who is the Holy Spirit? His sacrifice on the cross and salvation. How can we achieve salvation? How can we have it? It's not by works, it's by faith for what he did on the cross for us. Those are essentials of faith that if you don't believe certain things that are essential, it's going to be difficult to have unity because that is going to bring other consequences. If you don't believe the Bible is the authority for the church, for us, for our lives, then that's going to represent a whole bunch of problems and that you're going to be having arguments and friction. And we're wondering, why is it that we're having all these things? And then we realize, oh, it's because we don't consider the word of God as our authority. Unity in the essentials. Freedom in non-essentials. Now, there are other doctrines in the Bible. I'm not saying they're not important. Everything in the Bible is important. But there are some things in the Bible that are not necessarily essentials of faith. And for example, one of the topics that could be considered non-essential is one that I'm actually very passionate about, which is Genesis 1 and the creation. And there's a lot of debate if it is 6 days, if it is millions of years, evolution, and all these things. I'm very passionate about that topic. But if you believe that everything was created in 6 days or millions of years, that doesn't mean you're going to go to hell or heaven, because that doesn't determine your salvation. It is a doctrine, something that we can read in the Bible, but it's not essential for salvation. We can have unity in the essentials, freedom in non-essentials, and then compassion on everything else. Everything else is stuff that we practice as Christians that is not necessarily a rule in the Bible how to do it or what to do. And one example is prayer. How do you pray? With your eyes closed, your hands up, on your knees. People pray different ways. And yet, sometimes people argue about those things. Compassion with everything else. So hopefully, those things are going to help you to have good relationship with everybody else. Because sometimes, we as Christians, we are together. But as soon as we disagree with one subject, there is friction. And it shouldn't be that way. And the last part to finish is, how is your relationship with non-Christians? We were not meant to be in a bubble. When I was little, I was taught that the Christian has 3 enemies. I don't know if you used to do that in the States too. But we have 3 enemies. The devil, the flesh, and the world. And so we sometimes grow up thinking, okay, the world is our enemy too. And we stay in a bubble. And we don't want to hang out with certain people. How is your relationship with non-Christians? The reason why we are here is to share with others. Somebody share with you, even though you were sinful, even though you didn't look very holy. But somebody came to you and shared the gospel with you. We need to share the gospel with others. And in order to do that, it's not just going to a corner and just telling people to repent. Do it the way Jesus did it, in a relationship, a personal relationship with them, relate to the people. People at work, your neighbors, the coffee shop, wherever you go, just have a relationship with them and share the love of God with them. They will see something different in you, and then they will start asking questions, and then you can start sharing the gospel with them. You may say, well, I don't have a lot of experience. Just have friends. And then when they ask you, hey, what are you going to do on Sunday? You want to go surfing? And it's like, well, I actually go to church. And then boom, you're ready. You can share the gospel with somebody. We were not meant to be in a bubble. And so our purpose is to share that love of God to others. So hopefully you can reevaluate how you're going to spend 2015. And there's probably many, many other plans, like I was saying before, like learning to play a guitar or learning a new language. But hopefully you're going to have these three things in mind. Reevaluate your relationship with the Lord, with other Christians, and with non-Christians.